everybody, and welcome back to the Co-opticast. My name is Locke Vincent. I am your host this evening, and we're on show 116.
Wow.
That's a lot of episodes. I am joined by some lovely gentlemen, as well as some people possibly in the audience. If you have joined us in the audience, you can even ask us questions throughout the show with our live special question and answer thing on Google Plus. Anyways, I'm joined by... Yeah, it's over there. But I'm joined by some fine folks that I play co-op games with. First being Mr. Nick Paleo. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You're back from Disneyland, right?
Yeah, Disney World.
Disney World. Yes. You met all of the princesses.
I did. Some multiple times.
Wonderful. Oh.
What happens at Disney stays in Disney.
That's right. As well as the man sporting the best Movember stash of us all, Matt.
Matt?
Where's Matt?
It's not Matt. I looked at his picture and I started cracking up.
Yeah, you looked at his picture and you thought you looked like a Matt.
Look at that face. I wish it's bad radio, but no, Mike Katsaprakis is rocking, like, what do you call that? Is that a Van Dyke? It's just something amazing.
It's something I came up with, I guess.
It is glorious.
I'm digging it.
Yeah. And last but not least, the man who is apparently getting married, much to all of our surprise and chagrin. This is Jason Love.
I'm getting married? What the
ladies?
Surprise. Surprise. So yeah, we're gonna talk about some games, as well as some news items, and maybe delve into talking about the PS4, which happened, that launched.
That's a thing.
It didn't happen for me, so
no. There's two of us who have it and two of us who don't, so we'll see what happens when you do this.
Failure to launch happens a lot with companies, I'm told.
Yeah, exactly. But let's start things off here with Nick. You've been away for a while. Tell us what's been going on in your world, man.
So yeah, lots of PS4, which we'll talk about later. I picked up a new video card thanks to the price drop from Nvidia, so I've been getting some PC gaming in, and also came bundled with the swanky Nvidia Shield here, so I've been checking that out, which is
nice.
Pretty cool. I think it's some really neat tech and might be a little bit ahead of its time in terms of ready for mainstream, but when it works, it's pretty great. I've played a lot of Spelunky via Steam, via that thing, kind of sitting upstairs in bed and watching the kid and being able to play through that. It works pretty well. So basically, you can access your entire Steam library through big picture mode. Basically, click a button, click launch Steam. If you're sitting in front of your PC, you can kind of see it happen. It'll handle resolution changes, launch the big picture mode, handle any controller changes and stuff all on the fly. You don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. And then there's also like natively supported games that don't necessarily have to be launched through Steam. Actually, Battlefield 4, which just launched recently, supported it through there, and a few others. Nice. So, yeah, it's a cool way to... Go ahead.
I was going to ask, when are you going to put an emulator on that bad boy and make it the ultimate portable gaming system?
I don't know. Maybe soon. I haven't really felt the need to. The thing is, I have so many games to play right now. I don't need to play the old games. I'm busy.
That's blasphemy, sir.
No, it's not. It's
old games are the best games, and everybody knows
this. I've played
this.
That already, though. Yeah, so I've been pretty busy with that kind of stuff, playing around technology. And then tonight, actually, I played Drox Operative, the new expansion pack for that, with Taylor in co-op for a while. And I'll tell you what, that game is really cool, and it's really doing something different. And I hope that they can get that onto, like, Steam or something, because I don't even know if their previous game is on Steam as well, from Soldak. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Din's Curse,
yeah. But so yeah, this is another action RPG, but it is spaceships. It's got a bit of FTL going on with it. There's a lot of ship customization, plugging parts in, managing your crew kind of stuff. You don't get to see everything going on in the ship, but you know, managing power levels and stuff like that is kind of important. And you go around, you shoot spaceships, and you pick up stuff and go from planet to planet. But there's this whole dynamic, like, economy and race relations thing going on. Basically, like, one of the goals or one of the ways to win the game, there's five victory conditions, but one of them is basically make all the other races in the game like you. So that would involve, like, doing missions and stuff for them. But you have to balance that because there's things like if you do missions for one, it might give negative consequences against another and stuff like that. So it's a really, really deep game. Like I said, I've only played about, at, I don't know, 2.5 hours total, some single-player co-op. And it's small. Like, I think the total download with the expansion pack is, like, 250 meg. So in this day and age, it looks good. I mean, it's not like a bad looking game. It's, yeah, it's a really slick little title. Definitely worth checking out. If, like I said, like if you like Diablo and FTL and space and lasers and stuff like that. Like,
wait, lasers?
Yeah, oh yeah, there's hold plenty. The there's lots of lasers. Lots of pew pews going.
Apparently
on.
Apparently, you should have mentioned that sooner for Locke's interest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, lasers makes everything better. So
we're gonna we'll have a review of that. We were planning on it next week, but like I said, it's a really deep game, so I think we're gonna give it another week or so just to make sure we get the full experience. So
nice. That's exciting.
That's it.
Where can people purchase Drox Operative? It's not on Steam, right?
No, you can get it direct from Soldak. It's Soldak, I believe. Let me see, Soldak. Yeah, soldak.com. Let's see. The full game, the base game is $19.99. Let's see. Nice. Yeah, $19.99 for the base game, and the expansion is $9.99.
cool.
So, yeah, give it a shot. 30-day money-back guarantee. Ooh.
Boom. Yeah. And you have the...
and there's a demo, actually, too. I mean, that was... so hit up the demo and check it out.
And you got the Penguin seal of approval, so... let's move on to, Mike, you've been clicking on stuff. Tell me about this.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, tell me about the clicks and what happens when you do that.
when I click on things, they explode in a shower of blood and flame and grant me precious, precious loot.
Sweet.
I've been playing Path of Exile quite a bit. You guys probably remember, back when we did our free-to-play week, I did the write-up on Path of Exile because I've... It's weird to think about, but I've been playing that game for almost 2 years. I've been in the beta forever. And it's interesting to see how far it's come. It finally released for real on the, I think the 23rd of October.
Yep.
So a couple weeks ago. I've been playing it ever since. And that game is just, for someone like me, who when I play like an MMO or a Diablo type game, I obsess over builds, you know, making the perfect character. And Path of Exile is just a game that is just built for someone like me. You know, for if you don't know or you need a refresher, you know, it's free. It's got freedom on the same level as like an Ultima Online or the original Diablo, I guess would probably be a better way of putting it. But when you pick a character, you're basically just picking out what your starting stats are and what initial branches of the skill trees they're able to access. But you can make your character do whatever. So if you wanted to be you started out as the witch who's like the spellcaster, and you could make her specialize in, you know, one-handed weapons with a focus in daggers. And, you know, just be a weird hybrid melee class if you want to. And all the classes are like that. So there's, you know, the strength, agility, and intelligence type class. And then there's a class for that is a combination of each pair of them. So there's like a strength intelligent class, a strength agility class, and so on. So the released version of the game has a character class called the Scion, who is you actually have to go through and beat the game again the release version of the game to unlock her. And what she is a character who, yes, and Locke is displaying the skill tree on his on his screen right now. But the Scion is a character who literally starts as a blank slate, dead center, and can go in any direction. So you're given literally no guidance of where to go with the Scion. So I've been playing a Marauder. I've been focusing on two-handed weapons, and I have a frontal cone cleave that does fire damage and drains the life of all the enemies around me. And I just started specking into to lightning strike. So I smack someone real hard with a two-handed sword with lightning, and then it shoots three lightning bolts that zap through everybody else. It's pretty rad. But it's great. I really think they've done a good job at polishing it up for release and getting it the end game type stuff going. And the races are just as fun as ever. The race season 5 just started, and I've done a couple events.
Would you call it an amazing race?
Playing the race events in Path of Exile shows just how shitty you are at the game.
Right. So explain what the races are like.
Races are events, and they will be either solo or cooperative. And they are, so there'll be a list of races on the login screen, and you'll see it'll say something like 2-hour solo descent, starts now. And so when a race event's going on, you create a character for the race. And, I'll just use Descent as an example because it's the one I just did. So for 2 hours, you start the character and you play for 2 hours, and then it's a competition to see how high a level you can get and how far you can progress, and it randomly generates levels for you. And the levels can be pooled from any of the acts of the game, so you might see like end game stuff as the first zone. And in Descent, the goal is to move as fast as possible, and it will constantly be telling you if someone has been the first person to reach the next zone. And if you're the first person to reach a zone, there is a chest with a lot of good loot in it and a lot of bonus stuff, so it makes it easier for you to level. So you can go through it a lot quicker. And at the end, they rank all of the players on the ladder, and you get ladder points. And as you fill like your ladder points, you get unique items, and they make a new set of unique items for each race season. And and players who win the races get, you know, nice bonuses. And it's a really cool way of keeping the game fresh, because the rule sets change. And the other thing about Descent is it's hardcore. So one death and you're out. And there are like 8 to 10 hour races. There's one or 2 hour. There's races that you are forced to play in a party of four the entire time. And it's just great. Like, if you're tired of whatever you're doing, you can just hop into whatever the race for the day is. And there's usually three or four different ones, and they give you pretty good. There's a calendar on the website, and it'll give you a pretty good heads up that they're coming. If you're in game and you're just playing the single player or co-op, it'll actually say, "Hey, there's a race starting in 30 minutes. You might want to sign up." So nice. That's really all I've been playing, it's eaten up quite a bit of my time. It's really good. I suggest everyone play it. I just got around to starting a co-optimist guild, so if anyone's interested in playing, we can hang out.
Oh yeah, I think, what is it, you and I in that, Mike?
Yeah, I don't think you accepted the guild.
Oh, I will. I promise I will.
I will invite Nick. Never logs in, so I can't invite Nick.
I haven't been on in a while now.
It's good. Yeah, I've been playing a little bit of that as well. It's fun, and the build aspect of it is really cool. You can take your character, and I really like being able to sort of do whatever you want with it. So
yeah,
I have a Templar who's a big kind of monk looking old man dude, and he's gonna be a kick ass monk.
The strength and intelligence hybrid class.
Yeah, so he's gonna wield a sweet staff, and he's gonna bop creatures on the head with it. And when you do that, Maybe some rain of fire will come down. Who knows? I'm very low level. But it's fun. That's it for you, Mike? Just Path of Exile?
Yeah, that's totally it.
Yep, those...
I didn't get a new console like these idiots, so...
PC Master Race, buddy. Jason.
Yes, I am one of those idiots.
Speaking of idiots, Jason, tell me about... tell me about what's going on in your life.
What a perfect transition. Yeah. Lots of PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm. Did you wait in line for one?
No.
Did you pre-order it?
Yes.
Did it come to your door?
Yes.
You're doing it right.
You're an adult.
Congratulations, you're a grown-ass man.
Woo! Screw this noise, I'm out.
Okay, yeah, go over some more of the game stuff, and we'll talk about sort of the system itself later on.
Game stuff, so like what I've actually been playing and what it's
like the actual games.
So I've been playing a whole lot of Assassin's Creed 4, which
is that
basically, here's the thing, if you ever wanted to sail the open seas and just plunder people and get some booty, that's
Sid Meier's Pirates.
Yes, but if you want to do it like in an arcade fashion,
it's pretty rad and available for the personal computer.
If you want to do it more of an arcade fashion style, then it's Assassin's Creed 4.
Oh snap.
It I don't know, like for me, I could happily just spend the entire game sailing around in the ship, having my crew sing sea shanties to me, and then stopping to plunder a ship and murder everyone on board. I mean, like, it's that's a lot of fun for me. And it looks just gorgeous. I mean, like, the graphics on it, they do a really great job with it. So, like, you're sailing around the Caribbean, and it just looks absolutely amazing. The gameplay itself, I mean, running around the environments feels pretty much the same as it did in Assassin's Creed 3, and you still occasionally have a couple of the same climbing glitches where, you know, it's like, nope, I'm going to decide to run up this wall now when you really want him to go jump on that ledge.
Can you accidentally murder George Washington and fail a mission?
No. I'm sorry.
Then it's already better than Assassin's Creed 3. A true story. I was playing Assassin's Creed 3, and there's this mission you're supposed to be stealthy, and I was, you know, I like to be stealthy and still kill everybody.
Yeah.
And there was a patrol.
There's no reason why you can't do that.
I mean, you're assassins. What you're supposed to do?
Yeah, I know. I was, you know, I was hiding in a bear, in a bear or something, and dude walks by, and I pull him in and I stab him, and it says, "Yo, you just killed George Washington. You need to restart." And I said, "First off,
accidental.
That doesn't look like the guy on my
dog." No, I think that's where he just stopped playing.
Second
just be
of
like,
all, if he's wandering around with the Brits.
I just won history.
Maybe I should just kill
him. I just won history. That's what you just... I won history and you're done with the game.
Yeah. I did. I put the cheat code in and then I killed Hitler next.
It was awesome.
Why don't they do a World War II Assassin's Creed?
Probably because like it's everyone else
it's,
is...
Hitler.
It's coming.
Has it come full circle?
It'll get there.
Are we there?
It's coming.
Are we there yet? What about the ancient Egypt one? Do we get that yet? I want to murder
I still
King
want
Tut.
A freaking... They might as well do, like, a feudal Japan one, right?
That was a rumor a while back that was what they were going to be doing after AC2? It was after, like, the first AC2. They were like, yeah, the next one's going to be set in China or Japan, or something.
It made total sense. Like, let's just go through all the eras of history that had even the possibility of assassin-type characters. Yeah. And, no, they made three games in Italy and then jumped to the Revolutionary War.
And now they jump back to right before then in the Romantic Age of Pirates.
To Captain Jack Sparrow. So I have another question about AC4.
Yes.
So I've heard a lot of people say that the best part of this game is not actually playing it, but returning to your ship because your crew
cheers
is
for
happy
you.
To see you.
Every time you go behind the wheel, they cheer.
Is that your next gen moment?
No. My next gen moment is when I like opened up the sails of the ship and like went out on the sea, and way off in the distance I could see a fleet of ships.
A narwhal?
I could see a narwhal too, but I could also see a fleet of ships and then use my spyglass to, you know, pinpoint each one as the islands went by. I mean, like that was pretty next gen for me in terms of the graphics itself.
So draw distance is your next gen moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
And no nice. No polygons.
None.
And you know Zero. How I hate polygons.
I know how you hate polygons. but I mean, no, it's fun. It's like I said, it's pretty much if you just want something where you can go sail around the open sea. It's a great game to pick up for that. Nick and I have been playing some of the Wolf Pack. It's pretty much the same as it was in Assassin's Creed 3. They added a new mode called
One Man Wolf
Discovery.
Pack?
Actually, I did a One Man Wolf Pack after I played with Nick, and I got farther in sequences than I did playing with Nick.
Is it because I stabbed the old ladies?
I think it's because you stabbed the old ladies through the doors.
Kept stabbing the old ladies.
Why are you stabbing all the old ladies?
Well, you know, you bust down a door and the old lady scares you. You just stab them in the throat.
your initial reaction is to stab.
Your reaction is to throw out those blades in your arms and go right into their skull.
Pretty much. So
should I purchase this game for my personal computer?
I'm downloading it right now, Mike. I'll let you know how it is on PC.
There's your answer.
Well, because I don't have either of the new systems yet, and I'm giving you guys shit about it because I'm because
he's jealous.
I've got total jealousy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't really need them. You guys are already doing the reviews, and I don't want to play a whole lot on them yet. But god damn it, my
tech.
I log into my
tech
PS3
envy.
And it takes me like 20 hours to install something because that thing is slow as shit. And I'm like, man, I would really like a new one of these. Oh, hey, they're available for the low, low price of 400 bones.
That's right. So, anyways, Assassin's Creed 4.
Yes.
We'll have the review up later this week, but...
Still stabbing fools.
I like it better than Assassin's Creed 3. I like the character a whole lot better than Connor. You talk about stabbing George Washington. There is, like, a whole big plot thing with that kind of... I don't know.
Wait, so you're saying you can stab George Washington?
No, you are George Washington.
you're the son of George Washington, and...
Aren't you the son of the...
The Archduke Franzibal. I don't
like,
know.
The guy at the very beginning of AC3?
Yes.
Aren't you, like, his kid?
You're the grandfather of...
Spoilers.
You're the grandfather of Connor. Spoilers.
Okay. Let's,
let's
move to...
The other games I've been playing. Resogun.
Tell me about... No, don't talk about Resogun yet.
Why?
Tell me about the Super Motherload.
Super Motherload is Dig Dug. Super Motherload is Dig Dug. What else do you want?
Remember when I said earlier in this podcast that the old games are the best games?
Why did they call it...
So we have a Dig Dug remake and a Defender remake.
Great.
Super Motherload, you dig through the crust of Mars to go find minerals, and then you bring it back up to the surface to upgrade your little... digger so you can dig further down.
Do lizards chase you?
What?
I said, do lizards chase you?
No lizards. You can't balloon people. Or ghosts. No ghosts. Are they little hoppy
well,
ghosts?
What good is this game?
it's a game that I need to spend some more time going into, but like so far, at least the little bit I've played is trying to get the minerals is sort of the puzzle part of it, because... some you can, if you try and go straight forward, there's like a little dip before you get to it, so you drop down and you can only dig straight across or straight down. So there's a little bit of a puzzle element to it. You have bombs that can like wipe out rocks that you can't dig through and stuff. I mean, the huge part of it is just pretty much getting those minerals so far, but I don't know if there's more to it or not. Kind of as you dig deeper down, I've seen images and screens of crazy looking stuff, so we'll see what happens the further it goes.
It has a tasty art style. Just amazing looking game.
I mean, from the like screens of like the characters and when you're up on the surface, once you actually get down to just a whole bunch of red rock, you kind of lose a lot of that art style when you're surrounded by red, but you know. I mean, the rest of it looks pretty nice. It's local co-op, so you can... It's kind of like co-op/competitive because you can kind of grief your fellow miners some. But that's Super Motherload so far.
Nice.
Do you want to hear about Resogun now? No?
Tell me about all the particles.
Oh my god.
Give me this. Give me it. Lay it on me thick.
How many particles can you think of right now?
Six.
Double it.
All of them.
Like
double it again.
24.
Double all of them.
Oh,
like,
geez,
the ending of every single level is basically, here's all the particles in existence thrown into your face.
So at least 96 particles.
So it's like when you finish solitaire in Windows XP, right?
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. That's exactly what happens.
Only with particles instead of bouncing cards. I have to keep my eye out for the Queen of Spades next time. Oh, there she goes. It's you know.
It is Defender, right? Like, everything I've seen says this is Defender.
No, it's like Chopper Lifter meets Gradius.
Chopper Lifter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chopper Lifter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's fair. Okay.
That sounds cool. And does it look like Geometry Wars?
No.
No.
It looks
no.
like Super Stardust.
Yeah.
It's pretty...
Kinda.
I don't know. It's Vox... They're all voxels, is really what it is. There's no...
Sold.
Yeah, but not like like Minecraft voxels, like little tiny voxels.
I will purchase this machine to play with voxels.
But by the way,
is this made,
Jason?
Is this made by the guys who? Sorry, is this made by the guys who did Super Stardust?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. House
okay.
Mark.
Well, shit.
And Outland.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Super Stardust influence as well in it. There's like some of the bosses are actually like giant. Asteroid looking kind of things, and they kind of fall apart into more as you shoot them, and so there's some of that going on. When Jason and I played, you know, it was funny, when we played we complained that we looked exactly the same. Well, that was because we both chose the same ship.
And there's, but actually, even so, I mean, yeah. Like, you know, color differentiate between the two players.
Yeah, so there's actually classes of ships you can choose and stuff.
Which we gotta do.
It's definitely one of those games that's it's pretty hard to master. There's a lot of things going on. That said, you should check my high score out, Jason.
What you got now?
Is it so high?
I'm like in the top 300.
What is it?
Like 20 million?
I'm going to tell you something right now, Jason.
I'm never going to compete with him. Ever. I know what that dude did with Geometry Wars.
Don't ever try and compete against a high score competition with Nick Paleo, because I nearly tore my fucking hair out playing Geometry Wars, trying to come within 10% of this asshole's high score.
I like
He's some kind of idiot savant when it comes to high score type games. No, I don't understand.
It's just the shoot 'em ups. Not other stuff, not so good, but shoot 'em ups is my thing.
He just gets into his zone, cool. Man. He just gets into his zone and he just like goes.
So yeah,
I just want to put Radiant Silver Gun in front of this guy and see what happens.
Go. When I played today, we were talking. So you have to save humans, right? That's the Choplifter influence. And
by the way. Sure. Best mechanic ever, flinging humans to save them.
And, yeah, they got these little, like...
I saw a playthrough of someone throwing them into pools of water instead of saving them.
But in my playthrough today, I actually managed the first two levels to save all of the humans in a row. So that was definitely how I beefed up my score. But co-op-wise, it's pretty much identical in terms of the gameplay, except you can kind of support each other. There's what do we figure out? Individual multipliers and individual scores, but
individual lives,
but shared bombs.
Yeah.
And obviously, like keeping things moving and stuff is important in co-op. But it's really fun. It's definitely it's the PS4's Geometry Wars in essence.
And they've given you, like, some interesting tools. There's, like, a boost thing that you can use to not only get out of danger, but also to explode ships when you stop. It's easy to forget about some of these things that you got there. I don't know. It's definitely a game, like, I kind of want to play more of to see.
So, isn't it free with PlayStation Plus?
It is, yeah.
Super Motherload, I think.
And you get at least 1 month for buying the system, right? So it's as good as having a pack-in game, right?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's like Flower is free. I think Sound Shapes might be free as well.
Both of those are fun games.
Yeah, so
I think
fun experiences.
I think Super Motherload is on there too. I can't remember.
How does Flower look on the PS4? That game was gorgeous.
I didn't even play it.
Don't even bother Nick's time with that. That's not a game. There's no high score
there's,
in Flower. What?
No score
you got the
in
most
flower?
Petals on your flower. Big deal.
Yeah. Until I can do
but
a speed run.
Does the next gen experience allow you to get more petals on the flower?
Yes.
I think they did update it for PS4, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't checked that.
I would hope so, because nothing else is freaking backwards compatible with it.
Warframe, I played a little bit of that too, since that's on the PS4.
You can't get a high score in Warframe. What are you doing?
The saddest thing about Warframe is that any progress that you have on your PC account doesn't carry over. Like, even though you create...
Does your actual account carry
no.
over? Do you have to make a new one?
You create a whole new one on
that's
the
shitty.
PlayStation.
That is bullshit.
Honestly, if there's one thing I want to see this generation, it's that, especially since the consoles are using PC architecture, and every freaking thing, whether it's Ubisoft or EA or whatever, they have their own online service tied to these games now. Like, cross-platform saves. There's no reason that they shouldn't exist.
And here's the thing about that I was really surprised by, is they also, when you create an account on the PC, I mean, like, you're signing up for the game. Like, you're creating an account, it's tied to an email address. I don't see why you can't do the same on the PlayStation. I mean, like, you just sign into that, and you access it just like you would on another PC console. I mean, like, that didn't make any sense to me, is since it seems like it's already tied to an account, why not allow you to sign into the account?
Yeah,
that's kind of silly, but that game seems very well suited towards consoles.
Yeah,
so.
It is, and it works well with the controller. Like, the moves that you have, like your special powers, are actually tied to the little, you know, sensor pad, so you like swipe up and swipe left and right to activate them.
Yeah, because that was my one complaint about that on the PC, was that if you hooked a controller up to it, there were actually too many commands to map to a controller.
So
you would have to make like a sacrifice, like, well, I don't get to dodge,
right?
But I can do everything else.
So yeah, so they kind of solved that by using the touchpad interface with it. It looks really slick too. I mean, like, it runs really well on there. The menus, like from the planet screen, are a bit odd. It took me a while to find like the foundry and all those other kind of things. But it looks.
Well, that game already had some pretty weird UI.
Yeah, it did.
It was on the PC, so.
But once you actually get into it, they've cleaned up that part of it a whole lot. So I mean, like, it's easier to figure out what you're doing, as opposed to how they had it before. So.
Cool.
I mean, it is an improvement. It just really sucks that they didn't have the integration between the two.
Yeah. And it's free. Another free game. I mean, there's so many free things to play on the damn system already.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I'm going to stop you guys there.
Okay.
So we don't blow our load before we get to
our mother load
section. Blow our mother load. I like what you did with that. Yep.
No,
I give him a 7. 7. Judges say 7 out of 10. I too have been playing Path of Exile, as I mentioned. I won't go into any more clicking of things until I have properly surpassed Mike in that game, which might never happen because he's amazing at loot horror games. I did review Final Exam, which is a very fun game. It's a 2D action brawler. Kind of felt, at first glance, it kind of reminded me of Shadow Complex, except replacing the gear gating Metroidvania stuff with more of an RPG aspect to it. And Final Exam, it looks beautiful. It's definitely worth your time. 4-player co-op, which I you don't see a ton of for these types of 2D beat 'em ups, and you play as it's four kids, it's four friends that go back to their high school reunion. It gets invaded by monsters, and it's got a really cool sort of theme to it. This monster theme resonates throughout the game, and different monsters pop up as you progress throughout the levels, and the levels are really varied. You start in a subway, work your way through that, and you end up in things like haunted houses, and it's really fun. Like, the whole experience is super fun. And the characters themselves are all very different. You have the jock, who is a giant beast of a linebacker who can just, like, charge through guys. You have this dancer who is very fluid with her motion. You have a nerd who can, like, craft bombs and stuff. And finally, you have sort of this cool dude. I don't know if he's, like, a drug dealer or whatever, but he seems to be the cool guy, and he can, like, shoot lots of things. Each of the characters has their own tech tree. Some skills are common throughout, things like increased health regeneration when you use a med pack, but then they have different skills like that are specific to them, like the girl can dance further and stun more enemies when she does her special attack, or light things on fire, or the football guy can like charge through and grab guys. But there's this RPG aspect to it, but then there's this this brawler aspect to it, where you're going through the level, different I guess you could call them fetch quests, and the environments are beautiful. It's got the sort of 2.5D parallax thing going on, a little like I guess the closest thing that comes to mind is like Little Big Planet, where there's a couple different planes of existence and things are going back and forth. Just a beautiful game. That's fun. Like, pick it up for like a weekend romp with four friends. I played through the whole game with just myself and another person, and that was perfectly fine. A lot of fun. But it's really neat to see four people in this style of game, because when you have different objectives, like you'll get down to a generator and it's like, oh crap, we need gas to fill this generator up. The game scales depending on how many people are playing with you. So in solo, it'll be like 2 cans of gas. With 2 people, it'll be 3 cans of gas, and so on and so forth. So it's interesting to see when you have more players, say you have 4 players, what kind of strategies evolve depending on your group. Things like, do you roll as a pack and just make sure everyone is safe, or do you try and divide and conquer in order to get the objective done more quickly, because there is a high score associated with how you do and how well you, and it's not just for the score, because I know a lot of people don't give a crap about scores, but in final exam, the better you do, the better score you get, the more skill points you can apply to your character. So it's pretty interesting in that case. Cool. And you're always going to get a skill point for finishing the level, but you'll get bonus skill points for doing better combat and finishing faster and so on and so forth. It's a pretty interesting game. I think it's like 10 or 15 bucks, well worth your time and money. I think I gave it like a 4.5 or something.
I actually have a question about that.
I've got an answer for you.
That game was originally called Obscure Final Exam because yes. It was part of an existing survival horror series called Obscure.
This is correct.
Which was unique among survival horror games because it was a true survival horror game that also had 2-player co-op.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if, I don't know if you played any of that, but is there anything in that for people who might be fans of that series, or is there any semblance of a holdover from the survival horror origins, or is it simply a brawler?
I did do a little research on that, and the reason they changed it because the backlash.
Obscure was a shit game, and no one played it here. I already understand that.
No, you understand that, but there's that weird sect of people that really love Obscure, and. Yeah. They didn't like that this had like this style of game had nothing to do with survival horror. It is not a survival horror game. The only thing that you could see is the sort of that is similar is the four high school students and that sort of theme and monsters and sort of invading. But other than that, no, it is a straight up brawler. It is not a survival horror game. But that being said, it's fine that they changed their name because it's totally different. This is fun and whimsical and it's exciting to play. And it's really cool because the pacing of it is you'll do the levels, you'll brawl and you'll do some different things. Like I said, grab cans of gas or like save this person, but then it'll go into a different type just for a lot of, older kind of like Genesis and Super NES games did this, where they would change the perspective and it would be like, okay, now you're going up an elevator and you have to dodge things. Or Battletoads is another good example where it's like, oh, now you're on the car level. And they do that to change the pace of the game just enough that you don't get bored of mashing and brawling for like, I don't know, 6 hours. So that was really... I really appreciated that they threw those little things in, and even boss fights, they change it up a bit. Not every boss fight is the same. Sometimes you're dodging projectiles or like tossing things back Donkey Kong style, that sort of thing. So
nice.
yeah, it's pretty cool, and it's not that long. Like, it's meant to be played over and over because of the high score stuff and trying to sort of, not necessarily perfect the game, but you can, like, play through with a different character, and you might play differently. You might play with more ranged weapon, you know, play through with ranged weapons, and then you might go with a melee build, that sort of thing. So, cool. It's pretty cool. The other thing I've been playing a lot of is Risk of Rain. And man, Jason, I am so glad you introduced that into my life, because it might be the best roguelike game, because Rogue Legacy is so damn good, but I don't want to go back and play Rogue Legacy after I've finished it. But Risk of Rain is insane. Like, it has co-op, which I've never seen in a roguelike. And the art style is going to live on forever. The classes, you can play through the game with eight or 10 different classes. And the game is so fucking hard, I've only unlocked 2 classes so far, and I just want to unlock the rest so I can play through that. I had an amazing session last night. There was 3 of us playing. All of us had played, like, I don't know, a couple hours of the game, and it was just so awesome. It was so, like, just raw, and we just went through and just, we died after, like, the second boss, and we're like, okay, let's try it again. We can do better. We can farm the first stage, get our items. And if you're not familiar with Risk of Rain, it's roguelike. So everything is randomized from the levels to the bosses. And then you're getting different items like in Spelunky, which help you. And they have this integrated class system that makes your party composition so important. And I was playing as the Enforcer, which is this giant tank with a shield. And he puts down a shield, and all incoming damage from the front is blocked. And then my 2 friends, who had just started, had the Commando class. And that's the starting class. And it's a long-ranged, basically DPS class. And they would just sit behind me and shoot. They would shoot everything. So, I mean, and we had so much fun. We played for like 3 or 4 hours. And just imagine the different combinations of classes that you can do with 4 different, all the different permutations you can do with 4 people with 10 different classes. That's insane. So I'm excited to do that. So Risk of Rain is a must play for your PC gaming system.
Or, and if you're not sold, go back a couple weeks to the live stream we did. Yeah. There's an archive, and that game is incredible. I was just musing, because it's coming to the end of the year, and we're going to have to start putting our list together, and I'm like the 3 games I can immediately think of are just small indie games.
Yeah, same with me. That's insane. That's awesome.
Like, none of the big stuff really captured me this year, so.
What's the...
I guess we'll see.
How is it now that, I mean, like, since it's fully released and everything, I've only played the beta.
The beta, right?
Right. So, you only have the first class unlocked. I mean, how easy, how hard is it to unlock the other classes?
I've played... I'm going to check quick and do... I just want to see my game clock, because I'm not certain how much I've played. I've played for 5 hours, and I've unlocked 1 class. All the classes are unlocked. They don't tell you how to unlock them.
Right.
That's the thing. It's like, I unlocked the Enforcer because I had killed a specific boss, the Magma Worm, which is a very common boss in the first couple levels. So, yeah. I have no idea how to unlock the other classes, and I kind of want to keep it that way. I kind of want it to be a surprise.
Sure.
On if I go and have a, just go into beast mode and have an awesome run, and I unlock something, like, that alone is a reward in itself, and I don't even care if I died. I'm like, oh man, I got a new class, and I can play through like that. I'm playing on normal, and I can't get past the 3rd stage, and
wow.
I'm just finding with games like, whether it's Dota or Dark Souls or Risk of Rain, these games with such high stakes that it makes you care about it more, as opposed to something like maybe Assassin's Creed, where it checkpoints every 5 seconds. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I just enjoy these games.
I'll tell you what it is, because I know what it is for me. It's the games these days are so much of a power fantasy. It's like there are challenging bits to every game.
Yeah.
But it's really like generous checkpointing and everything. It's just like someone is save scrubbing for you, like in old ass PC games where you just sit there and quick save and quick load over and over. Now checkpoints do the same job for you. And it's not that your hand is held, it's just that anytime you make progress, you keep it.
Right.
And in old games, I've been going back and playing like old Castlevania games.
Yep.
Like, those are hard ass games.
Yeah, and Castlevania 1 is near impossible.
You earn every bit of progress you make in a game like that, and it's just something that it's you don't get out of a lot of stuff these days. There's kind of the whole movement of like the resurgence of roguelikes and the cult of personality behind Dark Souls.
Yep.
Exists because people still want that stuff, or they didn't know they wanted it, and then they found something that gave it to them, and it's now it's all they want.
Yeah,
it's weird. That being said, man, I recently modded Dark Souls on PC, and it looks so damn good. It's so good. Like, I am literally excited to play that game again. But let's get things going here. Nick, I haven't heard from you. Can you please indulge me with our first news article about Dying Light? tell me what Techland has been up to. I know we saw a bit of this.
Yeah, it should come as no surprise that Dying Light is going to have four-player co-op, and in fact, the entire game is built for four-player co-op. Techland, they created the Dead Island series. It's just more zombies, more weapon modding and stuff like that. But the things that kind of changed up for this over something like Dead Island is there's a big focus on parkour. So movement of your character and jumping over buildings, but climbing and jumping over rooftops and all the other kind of good stuff that comes with it. And then there's a whole day-night cycle. And basically, as it gets to be nighttime, it's supposed to be a lot harder. The zombies are a lot more aggressive and stuff. So it sounds like there might be some sort of almost Minecraft-esque elements to it where you'll have to build up some defenses and stuff. And we kind of saw that in the Dead Island Riptide, where they had some of those sections in it. The game looks ridiculously gorgeous.
That preview video is sick.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a next gen exclusive in terms of it won't be on 360 or PS3. It's PS4, Xbox One, and PC. But yeah, so they finally we actually knew heard at E3 that it was going to be co-op. It was kind of like an off the record kind of a thing. But they wouldn't tell us any details about it. So, so that's it. Dying Light, sometime next year. Probably a holiday release next year.
Yeah.
But
it'll be good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I managed to... I was at a LAN this weekend.
Nice.
Which I hadn't been
PC
to.
Master Race.
I haven't been to in a really... long time. Well, not a long time. Like 2 years I haven't been to a LAN because my previous job, two jobs ago, I would go to LANs and do product demos because I was working with headsets. But I went to a LAN and just got my ass kicked in Dota. Just ruined. But on the other hand, I got to play some awesome co-op games. I got to play like Left 4 Dead 2 in a LAN setting. Amazing.
That's a perfect landing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so fun, and yeah, it's insane. And then I was actually sitting beside two younger gentlemen who both had level 100 characters for Payday 2.
Holy moly.
So holy like, shit. Dang.
So I was like, dudes, tell me how to play Payday, because I've got this armored transport DLC that just came out. They're like, okay, we got you. So we booted this up. We did a couple missions. Payday 2, the first set of DLC, came out, and it's available on PC. And it includes a new mission. Armored car, where you basically stop an armored car, go in, steal everything, get out. And then a train heist mission, which is kind of like a secret mission, which is kind of cool. More weapons. So the new masks are all presidents, which is amazing. You have excellent. Like Bill Clinton, Obama, George Bush, and Nixon. And then like
can you point your gun up in the air and say ah?
Of course you can.
Over the microphone.
So yeah,
I mean,
so yeah, If you pre-ordered the game, you get the Armored Transport DLC. But if you have a friend, if you don't have it and someone in your party does, you can play it, which is pretty cool. But it's like $7 and you get all this new content, and these guys at Overkill, they're just killing it with their game. Like, just lots of customer support and community feedback and, you know, planned DLC, the good type of planned DLC, and just always engaging and always tweaking. And I know Nick, you and I were able to talk to David from Overkill there, and he just seemed like a really good guy, really passionate about his game. So go buy that or go play it. Just support Payday 2, because I can't get enough of that game, and I'm still only like level 40, and I can't believe those guys were level 100. It was insane. Mike, praise the sun.
Yes.
Let's do it. Tell me about Dark Souls 2. What's going on?
You know, they released a slew of screenshots from Dark Souls 2, and
did he give you a half chub?
From what I see, it looks like it's another Dark Souls game. And the nice thing is there's lots of tasty screenshots showing 3-on-1 PvP and lots
just
of co-op.
Just the way I like it.
But, you know, get those white phantoms in, kill those red phantoms, kill
That's
the
right.
bosses. I'm really looking forward to Dark Souls. I like the fact that a lot of the characters look like they're wearing big-ass cloaks, because I think that was the one thing that was really missing in the original Dark Souls. It was just big-ass furry cloaks.
More cloak technology.
Yeah, Batman, Arkham Asylum, and Arkham City made me feel like capes are, you know, one of the coolest things you could have. And, It's hard to tell. I'm like, you see three dudes standing in front of a giant ass, you know, armored guy, and you know, I play Dark Souls. I know what that means. At least two of those guys are about to die. One probably while praising the sun, and the other when running straight into the guy's nuts. I mean, that's basically how Dark Souls plays out. But it looks nice. There's a lot of, you know, good. Varied environments. It'll be nice to actually see like the overlook of the ocean, and
It's super interesting to see some of these like sunset oceanside pictures.
That game is going to destroy my life when it comes out. I know it.
I've done two play sessions with it, and they basically, they're like, hey, Dark Souls servers are going to be online at midnight. And I'm like, oh, midnight. That's a very convenient time for anyone who has a real job. Luckily, I don't. So I can.
So the other thing that I saw, and Dark Souls 2 has a true dual wielding system in it, unlike any of the other. And either Demon Souls nor Dark Souls had a good solution for dual wielding. And I see one of the screenshots in there that jumped out at me.
Is it the one with this rapier?
Is the guy who has a dagger in one hand and a two-handed sword in the other.
Yes.
Which, to me, seems like the kind of thing that our old friend Andrew would do.
No, I think Andrew would do two-handed swords in both hands. I'm here to fuck shit
like,
up!
And swinging his arms in windmill patterns.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks good. A lot of the focus on Dark Souls 2 is they're removing the safety net of playing as a Hollowed. You know, even if you're Hollowed, your ass is going to get invaded.
Yeah, so, it's pretty interesting. They actually have two different types of summoning stones. They have the regular large one, in which you will be rewarded with humanity when you help finish the boss. But then they have a smaller one, and you don't actually get that humanity. And that's the one, it's a time limit. I think it's like 10 or 15 minutes that you're with that person when they summon you. And for helping them, I can't remember what the reward is, but it's different. It's not humanity, and it's time-based. So it's pretty interesting.
So since you actually played the beta, so you...
Yeah, I've finished the first two bosses in the game.
Okay.
I think it's the first two bosses because they're pretty easy.
So after you kill, it was unclear prior to it, but remember in Dark Souls, if you were playing co-op and you kill a boss, your co-op partner
disappears away, yeah,
because the zone becomes safe.
Yes.
Safe.
Safe.
So,
safe.
So is that how that time limit works, or are they just, is it just a hard time limit and they just go whenever, or can they potentially stay through a boss kill?
I've tried to test it. For every time that I finished a boss with someone else, I have been sent back to my own game. So I have not stayed in a world where we finished a boss. But I have only been summoned when I've used my large white soapstone and not the small white soapstone. So I'm not sure yet. I will do more research there. I'm assuming they're going to be doing a beta test every month. I will report back.
Please do. And even if these guys don't want to hear it, just, you know.
You don't have a choice. You're going to hear about this for the next 6 months until the damn game comes out.
Yay. Oh, and then probably for the 6 months immediately following it.
You mean 6 years. Okay, Jason, last but not least, Dead Rising 3.
That's kind of like the least. So some more details on the season pass for Dead Rising 3. We heard a little bit ago that there was going to be one that was going to cover four different kind of add-ons. The new thing that come out now is basically that you're going to get four new characters with it. So, you know, you've got your Confederate Viking, you've got your girl in a hoodie, vaguely Asian government man, and evil evil Mandy Patinkin are the four new characters that you can play.
Evil Mandy Patinkin.
It's evil Mandy. Look at that. That is evil Mandy Patinkin. Look at the picture of the man. He is evil Mandy Patinkin.
He's got scars.
He is.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
So those are the four new characters. Everyone can get excited about them. I personally like the Confederate Viking. That guy kind of looks pretty cool.
I just like the term Confederate Viking. I don't even need to look at a picture of the guy.
That should be a team name. We are the Confederate Vikings.
That sounds like a biker gang.
Yeah.
It's your clan name now in Path of Exile.
This is actually the one game I'm pretty hyped for on the Xbox One. So,
you know what I found really interesting?
No Titanfall?
I find it interesting that they have
no Titanfall?
A Mega Man X costume shooter that you unlock through the game. But they can't release some of their Mega Man Legends.
What the hell?
Well, this goes back to, you know, if you've seen the various articles written by our friends in the retro game industry talking about how Capcom is intent on trolling its hardest core fans.
Yep.
They love it.
That's just one more log on the pyre. Right?
That is pretty much.
I mean, because, you know, the original Dead Rising, you could be Mega Man. You get the Mega Buster and whatnot.
Yep. Yeah.
Put on that, what are those guys called? With the Lego heads?
The
Servbots.
Servbot head, yeah.
You know what the secret best Mega Man game is?
What?
Saints Row the Third.
Really?
Yeah. You know, once you came back from the Deckers mission, they gave you the Mega Buster.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. Okay, cool. We're running out of time here, but I really want to hear more on this PS4 launch. Nick, let's get you back into this conversation.
He's got the deets.
Nick, he's ready. Drop some knowledge about the
PS4.
You've been playing games for like 30 years, dude. and there's been a couple consoles released. So you don't have to tell me about the PS4 launch. How do you feel about it as a hardcore gamer, as a guy who runs a site? Like, how did it do? Like, just give it to me raw.
It's
people are like, oh, the PS4 launch, it was a failure because it didn't launch with X amount of games and sales, blah blah blah. I want to know how it feels to own a PS4, what that experience is like in this day and age of less, like, it's different than the PS3 launch.
It's interesting because this is the first console launch where social media is so big. Right, last console launch, like, for Twitter didn't exist. Facebook was very, very in its infancy. You know, people were still basically using MySpace, right? So what these consoles seem to be, at least the PlayStation 4, it's like a mashup between Facebook and Steam is the best way to describe what they're trying to do. Everything you do in the console like generates activity, and your friends can all see what you're doing. So, for instance, when I got my high score today in Rezogun, it got posted to a feed, and people can see that in a feed. And if you bring that up, you can like the post, you can comment on it, you can launch the game right from the post to try and compete for that score. You unlock trophies, it does stuff like that. You play games, it does that. There's a big integration with streaming video and people watching and commenting while you're streaming and interaction. And so, yeah, I think in terms of what they're trying to do, it's basically packaging up what's happening in the PC space, I'd say, and making it console friendly. Right. PC people have been streaming for a while now. People have been streaming on the console, but they have their own solution for it. They got to go through their computer and this and that. This they can do it out of the box. Everyone says, "What's the next gen feature? Or what makes this next gen?" And graphically, it's no better than a PC. Which, for the first time in a console launch, that's happening. Where PC,
and that's not a surprise.
Really. PCs don't have to catch up. It used to be in the past two consoles, it was console would launch, PC would take 2 years, it would get there and surpass it. PC's already there, and in some cases, I have a feeling. Like I said, I'm downloading Assassin's Creed 4 right now. I have a feeling it's going to look better on the PC from what I've seen.
I think that the difference is that PC, the graphics have gotten so good, and the graphics technology has gotten so good that you can get a mid-range PC card and have it look fucking phenomenal.
Look at
something like The Witcher 2 running on mid-range hardware now. That game looks incredible.
I don't know. Honestly, I fired The Witcher 2 up when I got my new video card, and I was like, "Yeah, I mean, it looks okay. It looks good, but Battlefield 4 and Assassin's Creed 4 and some of the stuff that's come out recently, like, it's so far ahead of even The Witcher 2, which was only, what, maybe 18 months ago it came out?
Yep.
A year and a half? Two years ago? I mean, it's moving so
fast. I did not live in Oregon when it came out.
Okay. In terms of what I think really set PlayStation 4 apart, and it'll be interesting to see how Xbox One does, is this little guy here, is this controller, some of the things that they've packaged into it, and some of the little things that it does, like little touches, in terms of, for instance, it's got an audio jack on it, and you can plug in any set of headphones to it and broadcast game audio to it. You don't need to worry about plugging into your receiver a pair of headphones or some kind of wireless solution from Turtle Beach or whatever. It natively works with the controller, and something like that is pretty huge. Even the touchpad on this thing is pretty cool, and how some games have been utilizing it instead of, for instance, like Killzone. You use it for kind of like a radial select kind of a thing, right? Normally you can use the analog stick, but it frees up that selection of being in a sub press. Usually it would be like, hold left trigger and then use the analog stick to select something. Well, now it's just you flick the D-pad with the direction you want, or flick the touchpad the direction you want, and it's the same thing. It does have some goofy kind of things in it. There's a speaker built into that controller, and like you pick up audio logs in Killzone, it plays the audio log through the speaker on the controller, which is
Nancy was not a fan of the Rezogun voice.
Yeah, it's a little jarring at first, and like Knack, it plays when you pick up your Knack pieces, it sounds exactly like the things in the Lego games when you pick up the little chips and it does that little clicky clacky sound. Well, it does that through the speaker on the controller for Knack. Yeah, so it's kind of bizarre, but in terms of some things, I think we've all missed, or you don't realize that you've missed, there's just the speed of the thing switching in and out of a game. Like you can be playing a game, bring up the full dashboard, switch into anything else that's going on, look at your friends list or invites and parties and everything else, and hit the PlayStation button and be immediately back in the game with no lag, no downtime. It's just it's really, really snappy.
That's the one improvement that I've really noticed, like, is that going back and forth, because I mean, like, you compare it to the 360, right? Everyone, you know, it's easy to bring up friends lists and stuff like on the 360. PlayStation, I mean, it is. You hit a button, you go there, you check out your friends, send an invite, and you press the PlayStation button back into your game. It's just that snappiness that
it's
that,
instantaneous.
Like,
I mean, there's no delay. It's absolutely instantaneous.
And I'm sure,
you
know,
once
the Xbox One comes out, we'll see how it is. I'm sure they'll have something similar, but it's just little things like that that have marked an improvement from the PS3 to the PS4. Playing it, I mean, I'm just like, it still plays games. And, man, you tried really hard to get in here. Sorry, my cat just decided to bust in. It still plays games really well.
We need to have a podcast.
I mean, like, I was, you know, like I said, I've been impressed with a lot of the graphics that we've seen and some of the things so far. Yeah, it probably does compare to, you know, anything that you can get on the PC market these days, if you want to put the mid-range even into it, a little bit higher-end mid-range. But the controller, too, feels a lot better. Like, just picking up and playing a game with the PlayStation controller is just... I mean, it feels really nice. It's got a different weight to it, a different feel that just makes it work. I pick up the old PS3 controller, I'm just kind of like, I'm okay with the thumb things, but the overall feel of it just hurts now.
It hurts me on the inside.
Yeah, well, the DualShock has always been lagging behind, you know, once the, you know, the systems that came after the PS2 came out.
Right.
Like, all those controllers were, at the very least, more comfortable to hold and use. So, Sony had been clinging to that for too long, and I know a lot of people liked it, but that DualShock 4 seems like it's actually really nice.
Yeah.
Not slapping the tips of your thumbs together for once will actually be really great.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned, Nick, that, what's the killer app for this generation? But I think it's more of an overall feature set of integrating... the social features, integrating the UI features, integrating the games, your friends, just this total like integration of everything coming together. And I think the convenience of that is really cool, and I think it's going to be really welcome to many people. There's a lot of people that don't give a shit, that they're just like, I'm going to play my Madden and play through that. But I mean, I really like seeing high scores on my dashboard when I look and I'm like, oh man, I have 15 minutes to beat that score. I can go on a run and try and beat it. Or, oh, look, there's six people playing this, and it's really easy to switch to that game. And that stuff is super convenient, and I think I geek out over user interface stuff, I don't know, like, now more than anything, because it's so cool to see the different tweaks that... And we haven't seen a lot of tweaks since, like, those big... sort of Xbox dashboard updates, and even I guess the PlayStation the PlayStation Store was the last big one for Sony. But I look forward to seeing what they do with this ecosystem, and that is the biggest thing for me.
The sharing thing is something else that, like, I played around with a little bit today that I found really cool. I mean, like, if you want to take a screenshot of your game, you just hit share and it's there and it's saved. Like,
it's
there's
awesome.
An ability to go and upload it, but it automatically creates it the second you hit the share button. And then you have, like, the past, I think, 15 minutes of gameplay video that you can take and upload right away, or just start your Twitch TV. I mean, like, it is so seamless, and just bring it up right there that I didn't even think about it until, like, I was like, oh, I gotta start taking some screenshots for this for the review and stuff. I was just like, share. And I was like, whoa. I mean,
there
it is.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that I think is really interesting, the social aspect, because as we know, it's PC gaming is blown up with stream stuff. And a lot of people today are like, well, you know, the top-rated PS4 stream on Twitch only has 200 viewers, and even just the random Dota match has like 20,000 PC Master Race. And it's like, I get that, but I think the thing that the streaming, tying this back to co-op, I think the streaming stuff for this gen, both on PS4 and Xbox One, is going to be just kind of that shared... that shared experience. Like, you know, you and Locke, you and I are going to play the crap out of Dark Souls. Jason and Nick are going to sit there and wonder what the fuck's wrong with us. But we can actually say, look, just watch us play this.
I will coach you.
Like, we've gotten over the learning curve for these types of games. So we can say, look, this is what we're getting out of it. This is how it plays when you've, you know, when we're playing it. Or, you know, even like the playground legends, like, you know, oh, I totally found this secret in this game, and, you know, let me just, instead of just talking about it, fuck, let me show you.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff can't be understated. That's going to be, to me, that's the thing that makes the consoles, you know, really compelling this time around. Because, well, you can do that on the PC. You don't really have a really quick way of, like, there's no built-in framework that says, dude, let me just show this to you.
Yeah.
That you get with the closed ecosystem and the focused experience of a console. And I think that's going to be really, really interesting to watch unfold, because new hardware is going to, you know, it's always going to have, you know, shiny new bullshit. It's going to be better graphics, it's going to be everything else. But to me, that's the first time that a truly next gen feature has come out since, like, you know, the PlayStation and N64 brought in polygons.
Yeah.
I mean, online multiplayer, sure, but this is new.
I think there are a few things that kind of get overlooked. Like, I think the old consoles were definitely holding some things back in terms of not even just for the console gaming themselves, but for PC games too. Because, I mean, let's face it, 90% of the games, like the big budget games that are out on PC, are coming out on consoles, and they're sharing a large part of their code base. So I think now that we're moving to these consoles with more power and stuff, you're going to see some things that that couldn't have been possible before, or couldn't have been attempted before. And it's funny, because I've always said that I think that the sports games tend to drive system sales and show off next gen the best. And NBA 2K14, in terms of graphics and some of the stuff it does, absolutely, you fire that up and your jaw just drops. But even like the FIFA game from EA, it looks pretty good. I mean, it's default view. You're not going to notice all that much different. But the ball physics and stuff like that they do with it, I mean, you can really tell that it's doing a lot more in terms of calculation. And the ball never really feels tied to anything. It never feels like it's on a string between players and stuff. It reacts a lot more realistically. And it's something you can't appreciate until you actually play both versions. If you play FIFA 14 on like Xbox 360 now, and then you play this one, you're like, okay, yeah, I can definitely see the difference in how these things are behaving. And, you know, it's that those kind of things that hopefully moving forward we'll get to see more and more of. Yep.
Nice. Well, we're running out of time here, boys. Any final thoughts on the
PlayStation? One other thing I wanted to touch on with it was the remote play stuff. It works really...
Yes, the Vita.
Yeah, it works really seamlessly. If you keep your PS4 in sleep mode, like, you have two options when you turn it off. You can turn it to sleep, which it'll automatically do downloads and stuff throughout the night. It'll find updates for your games and stuff like that. It's kind of a low power mode. But if you keep it in sleep mode and you have a Vita, you can automatically power it on, start any game, and play it through remote play. And you know, at least locally here on my network, I've had no problems playing even Resogun, which is a pretty fast paced and busy looking game. Gotten a little bit of artifacting and stuff, but no controller lag or anything like that. So yeah, pretty cool feature there.
And sorry, just to I'm just a little unfamiliar with it. Can you play any game on your PlayStation?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, Resogun worked. Assassin's Creed 4 worked.
Okay.
I haven't tried everything. Like, some games offer a second screen experience with the PS4, which is another option.
There's actually
an option you can choose. So I know, like, Knack, for instance, when you play co-op in that, that player will get its own viewpoint via the Vita.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Okay. Well, I think that's the show, boys. I think we got to wrap things up here. Remember, grab our apps. Those are on any mobile device, iOS, Windows 7, Android. Give us some feedback. It's going to be Christmas soon. The one present you can give to us is some feedback on iTunes. Otherwise, who knows? Baby Jesus might cry. Follow us on Twitter, at Co-Optimus, without the dash. And if you need to get in on the cheat code hotline, leave us a voicemail, 646-926-6748. I did find some new magazines, but I'll save them for next week because we're going long here. On behalf of myself and my co-hosts, thank you so much for listening to us yammer on about co-op games and the PlayStation 4. Probably going to talk about the Xbox next show,
yeah.
I think, in 2 weeks. So next week we'll do a stream like we always do on the off weeks. And then after that, it's going to be Xbox One feature stuff. So be ready for that. And then we'll know who won the console war. Anyways,
PC so, Master
thank
Race.
Thank you again. All right. We'll catch everyone else later. Thanks for watching and listening. Bye-bye.